Okay. Morning, everyone. I was kind of stumbling all week preparing for this morning. One of my favorite shows when I was growing up was The Lone Ranger. Anyone old enough to remember The Lone Ranger? You're old enough? It ended in 57. 1949, 1957. Yeah, yeah. And who played The Lone Ranger? No? Clayton Moore, he was the original, and his sidekick, Tonto, yeah, and they both rode horses. What kind of horses, JL, did they ride? What were their names? Silva. Silva was the Lone Rangers, yeah, and Scout. Anyway, you say, what has all this got to do with anything? Well, tonight's message is Superhero. And that was one of my superheroes. I liked that show. In every single episode, he caught the bad guy. And then he never stuck around to get credit for it. Did you ever notice that, watching it? Who was that masked man? Nobody knew. Because the only thing that was important was that justice prevailed, and it didn't matter who he was. He disappeared. So, if I were to ask you, in the Old Testament, what's one of the important people that you remember in the Old Testament? Moses? David? Daniel, who? Ruth, superheroes, right? Nobody mentioned Melchizedek. Isn't that interesting? Melchizedek. And it's understandable because he only appeared once in the Old Testament for a short period of time. Genesis 14. And he was referred to again in the Old Testament in Psalm 110. But you hardly call that top billing so that it comes to the top of your mind. But today, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit reaches back into the Old Testament and he pulls up this episode of Melchizedek and Abraham. Now, he does this in order to present a very important truth. And that truth is the priesthood of Jesus Christ is superior to the priesthood of Aaron. Because the order of Melchizedek is superior to the order of Levi. Now, stage is set. Open up your books. Yes, Hebrews chapter 7. A couple of verses in this, beginning with 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Verse 3. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, represents a priest continually. Period. This is a quoting of the record that is in Genesis 14, which is probably worth going there. And I have that bookmarked, so I'm there quick. Genesis 14, verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him. Now, Abraham is returning from rescuing Lot and all his goods and all the other prisoners of war, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheba, that is, the king's valley. After his return from the defeat of Chelolaomer, and the kings who were with him, 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a little of all. Okay, back to Hebrews. So the question arises, who was Melchizedek? Everything that we're told about him is in Genesis 14, verse 18. That's it. Our gracious, holy God thought it fitting to leave us in the dark about Melchizedek so that he might be a lively type of him who we know has no genealogy. What do we know about Melchizedek? Well, we know he holds a twofold office, priest-king. Sudden appearance. He does a priestly blessing. And we know Abraham's acknowledgement of his dignity. We know these things from statements that were made in Scripture. What do we know from Scripture's silence? What do we know that it doesn't say? Well, it's quite obvious that the writer of Hebrews believes in the total inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the writing of Old and New Testament. It's all inspired. Not only in the general ideas, those that we see, but also inspired in the minutest detail. Even the omissions from the text are divinely arranged by the Holy Spirit. That gives us the opportunity to search the Scriptures so that we can get the answers that we seek. So that no person stands up here and tells you this is such and such. you get to search all the Scriptures and find out the truth. These omissions about Melchizedek are so important that when we read verse 3, it almost seems like it's a riddle. And this brief appearance of Melchizedek in the book of Genesis has been portrayed so as to exhibit him as striking as possible a prefiguration of Jesus Christ. Was the appearance of Melchizedek the incarnate Christ? What does Scripture say? Not what I say. What does Scripture say? Let's look at that. Melchizedek. The names of his parents, unknown. His name, not mentioned in the genealogies of the Hebrew people. No record of his birth. No record of his death. No mention of the termination of his priesthood. He comes out of the darkness like a streak of light, only to disappear immediately in the darkness again. King of Salem. Oh, that's an important one. By interpretation, King of Righteousness. And King of Peace. Is not our Lord Jesus Christ both King of Righteousness and King of Peace? Righteousness is firm. It's inflexible, and it's almost stern, whereas peace is mild, and it's merciful, and it's somewhat gentle. We all want that gentle peace in our life. And in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus, mercy and truth meet together, but righteousness and peace, they're knit together. King of Salem, it says. Well, the historian Josephus tells us. The Jewish writers regarded Salem as a synonym for Jerusalem. Jerusalem. It's in the word. Take a quick look at Psalm 76, verse 2. It says, in Salem also is his, the Lord's, tabernacle, and his dwelling place in Zion. And where is the tabernacle? Jerusalem. Second Samuel, chapter 5. I'm talking about David here. Somebody mentioned David as an important superhero in their life. Chapter 5, 6 says, and the king, that's David, and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to David, saying, you shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you, thinking that David had no chance of taking the city. Well, Jebusites were Canaanites, and they were dwelling in the land for a long, long time. They lived in a place called Jebus, or Jerusalem, till King David defeated them, took the city. Melchizedek, priest of God Most High. Verse 3 says, without mother, without father. He was not a priest because he descended from priests. Like Aaron. Aaron is priest. His sons become priests. Their sons become priests. And even today in Israel, they're trying to establish the priesthood, and you have to prove you're from the lineage of Aaron. because that was the law. Melchizedek received his priesthood from God. It was an independent priesthood, not coming from the tribe of Levi. Jesus, from the tribe of Levi? No. From the tribe of Judah. Judah was not a tribe that was allowed to be a priest. But Jesus is the high priest. He's our Lord and Savior. Melchizedek bestowed upon Abraham blessings. And in that, he really does prefigure Christ. He ministered to physical needs. He brought bread and wine to Abraham, right? Bread representing the necessary food to sustain physical life. He brought wine representing the delights of life. Did not our Lord Jesus care for the physical needs of men? He had compassion on the hungry. In fact, he fed thousands. He pitied the afflicted. He healed them. He too sympathized with the social pleasures of life. At a wedding, he turned water into wine so they would have enough. It says Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils of war to Melchizedek. He did this either as an act of homage to him as king or placing himself under his authority and protection, maybe. Or as an acknowledgement of his position as priest of God Most High. To Jesus, our priest and king, the mightiest and the weakest, the great and the small, the high, the low, the rich and the poor, they all will pay humble homage to Jesus. Scripture says in Philippians 2:10, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Oh, Melchizedek was definitely different. As far as Scripture is concerned, he had no mother, no father. In fact, it seems like they're indicating that he is still serving as priest and king. It doesn't mention an end to the kingdom of his priesthood. In this way, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God. So why? Why did the Holy Spirit put Melchizedek on the scene way back in Genesis 14? Well, because God knows all things, and he knows the end from the beginning, maybe he was setting the stage for a higher priesthood than Aaron. Let's look at verse 14, Hebrews, still chapter 7, 14. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. In verse 15, it says, there arises another priest. That word, another, means another of a different kind. Not the same. The Levitical priests were made priests by the authority of a temporary and an imperfect law. Jesus was made priest by a declaration of God. And because Jesus is the eternal Son of God, he lives by the power of an endless life. Verse 16, endless life. And since Jesus is priest forever, he can never be replaced. His priesthood never ends. And so with the annulling of the law, which is spoken of in verse 18, for on one hand there is an annulling of the former commandment, the law, because of its weakness and unprofitableness. With the annulling of the law, there's also an abolishing of the earthly priesthood. Because the priests under Aaron ministered under the law of a commandment. And the only thing they had to be was of the tribe of Levi. But Jesus' heavenly priesthood was established on the basis of his work on the cross, his character, sinless life, and the oath of God. Verse 20, and inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests, talking about Aaron, without an oath. But he, with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. This oath of God gives the priesthood of our Lord the degree of permanence. Doesn't end. Ever. And so he becomes mediator between God and man. Jesus. He guarantees that God is not going to abandon us. Christ has saved us. And so we can be assured that he will keep us. He, verse 25, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Save to the uttermost. Every single one that comes to Jesus will be saved. Now, we can't always comprehend the mystery that's in all this. We have this Melchizedek. We have priest forever. No mother, no father. We have Christ's atonement. Righteousness. We have sanctification. And all this funnels into our, well, my small brain. Was Melchizedek an appearance of Christ to Abraham? Doesn't matter. You decide. What's important? This is it. is that it was Jesus Christ's sacred blood that was shed for our salvation. And it is through Him and by Him and trust in Him that we are saved. And that's all we need to do, is totally trust in Christ, and He will provide all our needs. And one of those needs that we have is eternal life. It says, "For such a high priest was fitting for us who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those priests to offer up sacrifices for his own." See, all the earthly priests had to first sacrifice a sin offering for themselves. And Jesus didn't. He offered himself as the sin offering for us. You decide. Lord, some of the mysteries of the gospel haven't been revealed to all of us yet. Give us that desire to search the scriptures, and then give us the understanding through your Holy Spirit to realize what we are studying, and to come to the conclusion that it is through you that we receive eternal life. And if anyone has not yet accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, then give them that strength to stand alone, to be separated from the world, and to come before you. Help us to witness, Lord, to those people we prayed for this morning, to the upcoming sing next Sunday. And be with those that couldn't be here today. Strengthen us in these end times, Lord, where things are going to get a little bit tougher. And may our faith never fade. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen.